Lee.
And we're doing some myth busting this week.
We are. You know, it's interesting when we see some good and renewable energy stories on the internet, and especially on social media sites, and then you go to the comments, and I still see the same old myths being thrown about. Today I thought I'd look at a few of them and just see how they stack up. Now, these comments are usually in with caps lock on and some angry emojis attached, so I won't be yelling at anyone for effect today.
What about solar panels, energy as it takes to manufacture them?
That's probably the most common one we see. Well, for starters, solar panels collect energy and they don't make it. Embodied energy is the term we use to discuss the amount of energy it takes to make something. And this is taking into consideration the mining, processing of raw materials, transport, manufacturing, basically all the way through the process. Solar panels these days have around about 2 years of operation to recoup their embodied energy. Though some panels, Lee, are around a year and a half. And as they're anticipated the last 25 years, the embodied energy calculation is well taken care of. We also see solar panel factories with solar panels on the roof. So solar panels are sometimes powering the machinery to make more solar panels. On my LG factory tour, the first place they took us was the roof. And there was just solar panels as far as the eye could see.
Adrian, solar panels, toxic nightmare. Is that just another common myth?
That's the one. So, well, for starters, look, I wouldn't want to eat one, Lee. But it has to be mentioned, in the very early days of solar, there was some pretty nasty chemical combinations. There was cadmium, gallium, arsenic, and a few other nasties in the production of solar panels. The toxic stuff was in small amounts, and they were not, well, they weren't much good, because we're talking pretty old school panels here. But they were only a flash in the pan as far as technology went, and they were never made in large numbers. So when people reference this, they are judging all solar panels by a tiny subsection of panels.
So what about some good news?
Well, the good news is modern-day solar panels are not using any of that stuff, and there are now recycling centres opening up all over the country.
Any in Tasmania?
Not yet, but it won't be long before we have something in place. We may never have enough mass or critical mass to make a recycling centre here in Tasmania, but eventually they'll be sent to the mainland.
So essentially the majority of solar panel is aluminium and glass.
That's the bulk of them, Lee. That's about it. There's silica cells, which are essentially sand. There's a vinyl backsheet. There's some tiny amounts of silver, tin, copper and lead. But there are now panels that are just entering the market that are completely lead-free. That's more good news. But as long as they're recycled, it really doesn't matter. Also, if you're buying quality solar panels, you've got 25 years to worry about the end-of-life process of your panel.
Unfortunately, some of us in the community still continue to buy the cheap junk panels, don't they?
That's it. Well, they don't know any better, but some of these aren't even lasting 10 years. But if you're really concerned about the environment, stop buying the rubbish. Buying quality is better for your pocket and the environment, so everybody wins.
Everyone wins on that. Wind turbines never recover the energy it takes to make them.
Yeah, it's very similar to the solar one, but the answer to this one's a lot better. It takes a lot more energy and materials to make a wind turbine, but because their outputs are in the megawatt range, we're talking huge amounts of power, it only takes 6 to 9 months to recover their embodied energy. It's an example of the advantage of the scale of efficiency, you know, between little generating products versus huge ones. They also have a designed 30-year lifespan.
And newer turbines, they're designed around an end-of-life recycling process, aren't they?
They are, especially the blades. Like, the old blades were a bit harder to recycle because they had a lot of embedded metal in them, and that was to conduct lightning strikes away in a controlled manner.
Another myth, all these turbine blades getting buried in landfill. That's a bit of a problem.
Well, it is. It's not a good thing, but it's not much of a problem. So, for starters, there's been some buried in the United States, which is, you know, is always a story we see referenced. But this is America, and they're not really fussed about pollution, and the mantra is clean air is for commies, and pollution means production. So it's a sacrifice, apparently, they're willing to make to keep their economies rolling. Thankfully, though, not all the world is like that, and serious end-of-life processes have to be part of any renewable energy revolution.
Now, Adrian, let's put the worst-case scenario of actually putting wind turbine blades in the landfill in perspective to coal mining.
Now, this is a good one. So Australia extracts around 540 million tonnes of coal per year. So let's do some basic science next. Now, you'd be all over this, Lee, I reckon. What is something we cannot do with matter? And then matter is the building blocks of all substances on Earth.
We cannot destroy matter.
That is correct. So when we burn coal, it doesn't magically disappear. If we dig up 540 million tonnes of coal, aside from, you know, having large holes in the ground, when it is burnt, there is 540 million tonnes of waste.
Wow.
Some of it's fly ash, some of it's particulates that go into the air, some of it, you know, is moisture and all the rest of it. And some of those things are very nasty. And there's arsenic there, chromium, lead, sulfur, mercury and heaps more, but also carbon dioxide, which is the main driver for transitioning to renewable energy in the first place. Now, you might not know this. Actually, Tasmanians probably wouldn't know this because, you know, we've got our hydro dams. We're very renewable. Well, we are 100% renewable, so we're leading the way. But Australian power stations, just by themselves, have to dump 12 million tonne of fly ash every year. And that's 500 kg, that's half a tonne, for every man, woman and child in the country every year. Now, these fly ash dumps have been leaching some pretty wild stuff into the environment and is a legacy environmental issue for generations that come after us.
So, Adrian, so all the wind turbines and all the world wouldn't fill just one hole we dig in the pursuit of coal?
Wouldn't even come close.
No. So that's not a myth. That's a fact.
That's a fact. So, look, there's always going to be pushback whenever we transition away from something, you know, into something else. Change can breed fear and upheaval, but times of change are also times of great opportunity and quite often the beginnings of something better. And remember, solar power is just nuclear power, but from a safe distance.
KND Miss Energy, it's the Northwest Coast leading solar designer and supplier, and you have some high quality and time proven products there.
We certainly do. You can see them in our showroom at 56 Sheffield Road. We're also electrical contractors, and no job is too big or too small for us. And if you'd like to find out more, feel free to give us a bell on 1300 502 599. Have a look at our website, all the W's, dmsenergy.net.au, or find us on Facebook.
Adrian, you have a nice day and a great week, and we'll have more power savers in 7 days' time.